Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Monday, 23 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Nkunza Sanlam Private Wealth. Man, the market was hating on his Richmond results, which were record results. We chat with Citadel Chief Economist Martin Ackerman as he updates his indicator on the likelihood of a recession. And Craig Show from Discovery Invest, a sandwich generation being squeezed financially as they help their kids and their parents. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Competition Commission backs Massmart's 1.3 billion rand sale of Cranbridge and Rhino to ShopRite. Says merger is justified from a public interest perspective and result in zero job losses. Not a good deal for Massmart. They get some cash. I think good deal for ShopRite. They get some good businesses. Business Day, higher rates give bankers a reason to smile. From a risk perspective, local banks in strong territory and bankers are something to be content with, despite deeper growth constraints. Morning markets, Friday saw US markets mix. S&P was up literally a couple of points, 0.01%. NASDAQ down a third of a percent, but it was a red week overall, and it makes for the seventh red week in a row for those two indices. Asia is mixed, Sydney off 0.1%, Turkey up 0.5%. Commodities mostly green, gold, $1,859, Brent, $113.36, platinum, $955, palladium, the only red, $1,981, rand, $1,580. Top 40 looking for about 150 points to the upside. That's 0.2% higher. That as 10 cent trades down 2.6% during their lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Nkunza, Senior Portfolio Manager at Sanlam. Nick, morning. Appreciate the early cold morning time. Those Richmond results, everything around them was records. Revenue, profits, earnings per share, cash, etc., etc. Yet the market absolutely hated on it. I get they're losing some commercial activity in Russia, about 168 million euro. I don't know. Am I missing something here?
Morning, Simon. The market is brutal, but also showing you an environment where, when high flying stocks, or sort of blue chip shares certainly miss a little or are not liked by the market, they get punished. I mean, they get absolutely hammered. I mean, you can't really compare Richmond to something like a Netflix, but nevertheless, just the extent of these sort of sell-offs. Now, I'm on your page. I didn't think they were overly bad. I think, unfortunately, you had Mr. Rupert living up to his moniker of Rupert the Bear, because he was in the call afterwards, and generally the talk that was coming out, he was very, very bearish on China. And China, as we know, counts for roughly 25%. Of Richmond sales, or a quarter. And he really talked it down, spoke about, over 40% of the retail network currently closed, didn't know how soon it was going to open up, etc. And of course, there also was on the other side of that, not only did that knock the share price, you also had, I think there's a little bit of concerns. They are trying to sell a couple of their businesses. There has been a bit of a lag as well, I think they're trying to sell Net-a-Porter, I think, to someone, or a stake of it as well, to a player called Farfetch. And that's also a little bit delayed. But overall, I think a little bit overdone, quite frankly, Simon. But nevertheless, just showing you how nervous and sensitive this market is.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, Rupert the Bear, I mean, make no mistake, he's done a great business, but he's always bearish.
Always.
That is his moniker. The day he gets bullish, I suppose we all get worried. I mentioned in my intro there, another red week for US markets. I mean, the pain just continues there. But if I'm looking back to local markets, I mean, aside from the industrial, Indy 25, which of course, Naspers and Process, we're actually doing okay. I mean, not great, but we're down about 12%.
Yeah, that is exactly its relative value. Not great. portfolio and see it down, you know, as you said, 12%. But on a relative basis, and most South Africans now, I think, have some form of an offshore or global feel to their shareholdings or their investing. Yeah, exactly that. It really, if you look offshore, I mean, the markets love headlines. I mean, I saw one. I mean, the one that stood out for me was the Dow Jones currently, the levels that it's down, the eighth consecutive weekly decline that puts the Dow at its longest since the 1932 Great Depression. I mean, these are, yeah, I mean, obviously a little bit sensationalist, but these are facts. It has been very, very tough if you've held an equity portfolio of shares offshore. S&P the same at one point over 20%, which, as we know, classifies as a bear market. So difficult to find any sort of rays of sunshine in investing offshore, other than the fact, Simon, and I think you might be on the same page, is when you see these headlines and everyone is so, I saw uber bullish the most ever since records began, it does normally signify that maybe we're near the bottom of them.
Yeah, okay. So that was going to be, you preempted my next point. Usually when everything gets so bleak, we're near the bottom. We're not saying this is a bottom because no one's going to be that brave, but we're certainly, I think, a lot closer to the bottom than we are the top. At some point, this ends, and maybe sooner rather than later. Nick Kunze, Senior Portfolio Manager, Sanlam Private Wealth. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Martin Ackerman. He is Citadel Chief Economist. Martin, appreciate the time. It was back in February, literally. We had the budget one day, and then day later, Russia attacks Ukraine. This is having massive, obviously, political issues, but there are economic implications too, and one of those is a threat of recession.
Yeah, we went into this year with quite a healthy economic base coming out of COVID globally, and also in SA, and unfortunately, you know, with the war in Ukraine, the economic outlook's very quickly deteriorated. So beginning of this year, the expectation of the likelihood for a global recession was around about 25%. And suddenly in a couple of weeks, and now we're sitting very close to 50%. So, and the reason for that is, you know, the impact from Russia, Ukraine is basically on commodity prices. So all consumers are feeling it in terms of paying energy, petrol, food, and that's eating away in terms of your disposable income. And, you know, that continues much longer. Eventually, well, consumer confidence are already at levels we've seen during COVID. So the consumers in the Western world is not happy. And that will impact consumer demand, and that can lead to a global recession in the next 18 months or so.
Hey, one of the issues, and, you know, we had some tailwinds last year. One of them was agriculture. And of course, some of the shine has been taken out of that with higher input costs, fertilizer and the like. We also had the mining boom, but you make the point. I mean, the commodities are they're back a bit. They're still fairly elevated, but it is issues such as cost of energy. I mean, we're an importer of oil, and it's gone from 50 to plus 100. I mean, it has doubled.
Yeah, so SA, we probably in a slightly better position compared to the rest of the world, simply because we export a lot of the commodities that's now been sanctioned on Russia. Mm-hmm. So last year, we definitely had that tailwind from, you know, commodity boom as the world came out of COVID. That really helped us in terms of also more tax revenue collection and a bit better budget balance. You alluded to agriculture that done extremely well also last year. Now, unfortunately, this year, agriculture is going to face some headwinds, the energy input cost, fertilizer, which is also coming out of Russia, Ukraine, that will increase in terms of cost. So agriculture definitely some headwind, but yeah, the expectation is that we can again benefit from stronger commodity demand. But unfortunately, you know, and we've seen it of late, that there is definitely a bigger demand for our commodities, but our logistical network is failing. You know, if you think about the ports and the railway and getting the commodities out, and on top of that, we had the floods in KZN. But nevertheless, there's still a chance for us to probably benefit from that increased demand. And that's why the Reserve Bank increased their growth forecast for SA from about 1.7 in the beginning of this year to about 2%. So while the rest of the world is slowing, we can again have some commodity tailwind. But don't make a mistake, our local consumers will also and already feel the pain in terms of, you know, paying more for petrol and food, given the global issues we are dealing with.
Yeah, and you make that point. We've got to get those commodities to market, perhaps, is our bigger challenge. You mentioned your Citadel recession scorecard that has fairly jumped. I mean, recession still isn't certain. I mean, you're saying maybe 50%, a little bit under 50%. So unlikely, but it's still prudent for investors to look at de-risking portfolios. And truthfully, we should have probably started this process over the last couple of months.
Yeah, I think the market, you know, today pretty much already priced in some risk for recession. But where we are right now, even, you know, if we don't see a recession in the next 12 months, the geopolitical environment is very, very uncertain. So we're probably in for quite a volatile market environment. It is unlikely that growth will improve significantly from these levels. So in that kind of environment, yes, 100% right, to follow a more cautious approach makes a lot of sense. But we're also sitting with very high inflation levels, so you can't just go and hide in cash because you will get poorer from making that investment on day one. So you still need to have some good quality growth assets, exposure to great global companies in your portfolio to make sure that you can beat inflation over a 3 to 5 year period.
Yeah, and you make the point in your note, avoid those. You said your team always cautions against the expensive assets, and we've certainly seen some of those under pressure. A last question. You mentioned that, you know, maybe we get a recession. The bigger point probably is that we might not get a recession, but as what you just said, it's still going to be tough.
So the growth, or no growth for that matter, is one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is that we are sitting with inflation that we haven't seen in many, many years. So for investors, that should be the first hurdle to get over to make sure that your portfolio or even your business can actually beat inflation. Obviously, a recession environment will make that even more tricky. But that aside, you know, inflation is not going to disappear very soon given the supply issues that we are dealing with. And that's why, you know, we need to look for real assets that can actually add value in that space to our portfolios.
We'll leave that there. That's it. Our Chief Economist, Martin Ackerman. Appreciate the time today. And that's our poll today on our LinkedIn and Twitter, chatting with Martin there around likelihood of recession in the next sort of 12 to 18 months. We're asking you, what do you think? I mean, yes, absolutely, perhaps not likely. Perhaps the bigger issue is that recession or not, it's going to be tough out there. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Jane Health Craig Show, head of R&D at Discovery Invest. Craig, appreciate the early morning time. The sandwich generation, you're running a new campaign, sort of focusing on much, but focusing to a degree on that sandwich generation. Are we talking about adults who kind of been squeezed both ends? They're helping kids, but they're also having to help their parents and making it tough for them to really get ahead, save and create wealth.
Yes, Craig. Good morning. Thank you, Simon. The sandwich generation, I mean, as you said, it's typically the parents. They're aged sort of 35 to 54, and I think they feel more stressed than any other age because they have to balance the demanding and delicate act of caring for growing children and their aging parents. In the U.S., they find that around 1 in 7 middle-aged adults, that's about 15%, is providing support for both sides. And in South Africa, I'm guessing it's much, much higher than that. But there's also a very interesting another thing that's coming through, and we're finding it, they're called boomerang children.
Yeah.
And boomerang children are young adults or I guess other adult children who move back in with their parents after Ivan, and after living independently. And often these boomerang children return to their parents for economic reasons, for, you know, for low salaries or low wages, for not enough savings or high debt or unemployment, or just the typical difficult market that we're in today. So yeah, a lot of strain out there, and it's coming from, as I say, from both ends.
And as a, I mean, as a country, we don't have a, truthfully, largely as a planet, but certainly in South Africa, we don't have a giant household sort of savings culture. You make the point that it's around 2% of GDP. It's fairly small, and that partly, I suppose, is exactly because of these sort of issues and concerns. But also, I suspect it's just it's something which, I don't know, there's almost a sense of and I remember when I was growing up and a lot younger, it was sort of far in the future. We as a society never really gave it good thought, and perhaps also maybe didn't have the sort of product offering that could have helped.
Yes, correct. I mean, Simon, it's called hyperbolic discounting. It's where you think it's something so far in the future, you totally devalue it compared to consumption today, which you value a lot higher. So retirement saving is, I guess, the epitome of hyperbolic discounting. It's something that's going to be so far in the future, and it's really not something that people focus on. Also, I guess saving for retirement is completely a behavioral thing. You know, if you need to save a lot, you need to save for a long period of time, and then you need to not touch that money. And South Africans have a particularly bad savings culture. I think we're the worst out of all the BRICS, and we don't have much of a savings net, as you say.
And is there, I mean, and I've chatted with Hilton Kohler, head of Discovery Bank, a couple of times. And I mean, it almost comes down to, I mean, we saw the concept around sort of nudging in the 80s come through. And I remember chatting then, and, you know, Discovery from the health perspective had been doing that already for a decade or so before that book came out. But it's that, for want of a bad word, perhaps, it's almost a gamification of it, and to make it sort of rewarding and give those shorter term nudges and satisfactions.
Yeah, so the Vitality Program, and as you know, it's very well known. The whole idea behind it is if you can get people to do things that are healthy for themselves, this will obviously be very good for them. But it's also very good for a life or a health insurer, because then people claim less. So it becomes sort of this self-funding perpetual cycle where people do things that are good for them. That creates more profitability for the company, and the company then gives that back to people in form of rewards. And so we do exactly the same thing in retirement savings. We sort of look at what will grow people the biggest retirement pot. So we encourage them to start earlier, to mm-hmm. save for a long period of time. We encourage them to top up the investment on an ongoing basis. And when they get to retirement, we encourage them to withdraw more responsibly, to not take out too much of their money. And obviously that leads to a better retirement outcome, right? If you've got more money and it's going to last longer, that's very good for clients. But if you think about it for a moment, you'll also recognize that those exact behaviors are very good for a company providing products. If we're holding on to assets for longer, now that means we'll earn more fees off those assets. Remember, it's not higher fees, it's the same fees. It's just for a longer period. And so we use that surplus profitability to create rewards that incentivize exactly those behaviors. So again, it becomes sort of a self-funding. It's free. It doesn't cost anything, but it gets people to the right long-term trajectory while creating a more profitable product, and that's what we do.
Yeah, and I take that, and it is that sort of nudging people in the right direction, and it's the cliche, but if it works properly and works well, no reason why not, because we can have a scenario where there's winners all around. Craig Sher, head of R&D at Discovery Invest, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. A poll on Friday, I was talking around the sell-off, and I just, in fact, chatted with Nick Kunzer around it as well. And certainly, I mean, the Nasdaq's down from 28%. We've got the S&P now down almost 20%. But locally, only 12.5%. depending where you're investing, I guess, is going to, how's your portfolio doing? If you've got lots of Netflix, it is absolutely hurting. But if not, maybe less so. We asked, how's your portfolio doing? About a third each way was saying, doing all right, hurting badly, or stopped looking. And I took some flack on Twitter about the stopped looking. But you know what? It's a long-term portfolio. It's perfectly viable to say in a long-term portfolio, what happens in 2022 isn't that important. About a tenth of you said you're managing great. And those are the folks to most kudos. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. And thanks to my team, Eddie Nabuchle, Nicole Tetzo, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. Tomorrow, chatting with Derek Janser von Rensburg.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.